A recent survey by the Harvard School of Public Health found that about 35% of patients in the nation's hospitals did not feel that their pain was being adequately managed. That's a pretty high number for people in the right in a hospital. Dr. Christine Quackenboom, our guest today, assistant professor, researcher, former oncology nurse in the UW-Madison School of Nursing. With us today, again, as I mentioned earlier, her research focuses on non-drug alternative pain management strategies for people with cancer and chronic illnesses, or post-surgery, those kinds of things. So I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along today. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call at that number or send us an email at talk@wpr.org. Dr. Quackenboom, welcome. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much for having me here.
What do you think about this survey? 35% of the people say that their pain isn't being adequately managed in a hospital. Is this consistent with your understanding?
It is probably fairly true. It's fairly consistent with what we see. This was really kind of an interesting survey. It asked patients about a number of different things, items related to being hospitalized that they may have been satisfied or dissatisfied with. Pain was just one of a number of things. But the specific question asked, how often were you satisfied with the way your pain was managed? And the response options were always, usually, sometimes, or never. And it was about 65% that said they were always satisfied, and about another 25% said that they were usually satisfied. So
okay.
I think that that finding probably seemed a little shocking, and maybe it's not as bad as that statistic made it sound. However, there have been a number, for probably about the last 10 to 15, even 20 years, a number of concentrated efforts at trying to improve pain management, specifically in hospitals, adding spaces on our flow sheets for us to ask patients about pain and record it, and making sure that we have appropriate treatments available and follow up and see how well those treatments work. So we were probably a little disappointed at the results of that survey, that they weren't a little bit better. But satisfaction is really kind of a tricky measure, especially when we're dealing with pain. We have found in the pain literature that people will report being satisfied even though they still have moderate to severe levels of pain, because they're just so appreciative that somebody's trying to do something to help them.
Yeah. So even though you're in some, you know, here in this state too, people tend to be a little, maybe I'm stereotyping here, maybe I shouldn't do that, but we are a little stoic. And you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Midwest, that Midwest kind of view of things.
That's absolutely true. Patients tend not to report symptoms, especially in diseases like cancer, where they think that they're just a natural part of that illness. If you have cancer, then you can expect to have pain. And we find that when people don't report symptoms, then we can't help them and they suffer through them needlessly. But there are things we can do if they report.
How'd you get interested in this type of research that you're working on?
It was very highly motivated by my clinical practice, working with patients. I've always worked in oncology settings. As soon as I graduated from school, I knew that oncology was what I wanted to do. So I worked in the hospital with cancer patients. I worked in outpatient clinic for a number of years. I worked in the radiation department and chemotherapy, and I also did a little bit of hospice work as well. And it was just obvious to me across all of those settings that patients with cancer had pain fairly frequently, and it wasn't adequately managed with medications alone. So I got really interested in what nurses could do to help in addition to giving patients medications.
And so you're not against drugs?
Absolutely not. Drugs are very important. They should be part of a multi-component approach to managing pain.
All right. And with that, I'm going to give the number again to allow people to join in with their questions. 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Well, have you had some results? And you know, what have your experiences been in this area?
Sure. The strategies that I study are things that fall within the scope of nursing practice. So they're things that nurses can do independently without a doctor's order to help their patients manage pain, and to teach their patients really to manage pain outside of the hospital. So I study things like relaxation strategies, different techniques for distraction. I've done a number of studies using mental imagery to try to change the pain experience. And we have had quite a bit of success. And there have been several other researchers who've studied these kinds of strategies as well. My research focuses specifically on cancer pain. But in both inpatient and outpatient settings, we see that patients get relief when they try these strategies.
Well, some callers online. Let's go to Kurt in Chippewa Falls for a question. Kurt, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. Does ma'am, do you have experience, expertise, or advice with regard to non-surgical pain? I'm thinking specifically of fibromyalgia. And if so, how does one access your, you know, the advice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fibromyalgia is one of those kinds of chronic pains that pain researchers have really been focused on, and it's been very puzzling and challenging for those of us who do pain management. I'm trying. Have you seen pain specialists?
Myotherapy, mm-hmm. and that you know, deep massage, myotherapy, that sort of thing.
Okay, so you have gotten some advice.
Yes. Well, I'm speaking for my wife. It's not my personal.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's my wife, yeah.
Your wife has gotten some advice. Yeah, I can't really offer specific treatment recommendations, but you could talk with a doctor or nurse about using some of the kinds of strategies that we use in my research. And there are a number of health psychologists, social workers who do a lot of training in dealing with chronic pain. And using strategies, coping strategies like relaxation and distraction to help manage pain. So I would recommend that you ask for a referral from the doctor.
For someone to help with those relaxation techniques and
right,
that sort of thing?
Right. There are a lot of different strategies that people can use, different kinds of techniques. And what you need is someone to train you how to do them and how to use them on a routine basis. To really, people with chronic pain really have to try to change their thoughts about pain and their reactions to pain. These non-drug strategies work a little bit differently than medications, which typically work by treating the physical reaction, but the non-drug strategies really work more at dealing with people's emotional responses to pain, their cognitive responses to pain. What does pain mean to you when you have it? How they behave when they have the pain? How does it make the person act? So these non-drug strategies can help kind of retrain the brain in terms of how they react to pain and make it less upsetting, less bothersome.
And I suppose people are different in, so the strategies you might use for one person would be different from somebody else.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I've tried to focus on in my research is we've got a number of different things we can use as nurses to help patients manage pain. And how do we know which one to choose when we're working with an individual patient? So I have looked at some individual difference variables in the research that I do, looking, for example, in the imagery strategies that I use, I look particularly at a variable called absorption, which is, I actually describe it as imaging ability in my studies. It has to do with a person's ability to create vivid mental images and experience those as if they were real. We also look at things like their expectations for outcome. What do they think will happen when they try these strategies? We've also found that people who have lots of different symptoms going on at the same time have a little more difficulty using some of these strategies. So it really is a situation where we have to find out what are the variables that influence how well they work and assess those for each individual patient and picking the right treatment.
Kurt, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you and to your wife. Appreciate your call. Diane in Winona, Minnesota, we turn to you next. Hi, Diane. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Okay. I would like to talk about the positive side of pain and as a warning to us. Okay. I come from a family of 12 children, and my father did not allow a single aspirin in the house. He was afraid one of the children might take too many. So we were raised, and there wasn't a clinic or a hospital in the town where we lived. This was a rural community, North Dakota. So, you know, when I had got my foot in the bicycle and the wheel went around, I was just picked up and brought in, and, you know, they pumped water on my leg. That was it. So it was comfort care. Now, as I'm older, I have a neighbor. She's, you know, like 86, 87 years old. And, you know, I remember even being in the hospital in Mexico and having an operation, and I needed no pain, no painkiller. I have learned to believe that this is a way, a warning for me. Like, I'm taking care of a son. I took care of my mother in our home. It's a warning for me when I start to have pain to take a break. The same with my neighbor. And what we do, she's 86, 87 probably by now, taking care of a daughter with MS. And we get together and we sit down. I said, it's time to sit down. And we just sit and laugh about old stories, you know. And it just really helps the day, you know, just to... And to think about pain in a whole different way, that it's a warning sign for us to take a break.
So, well, thank you very much for that call, Diane. What do you think, Dr. Quackenbush?
She raised a number of important issues, and one is that, especially with acute pain, it should be taken as a warning sign. If there's no reason for pain and suddenly it occurs... It is a message from our body to listen and to say, what's happened to me? Is this something I need to seek treatment for? Do I need to just rest? But it absolutely, acute pain is a warning sign. Now, some people with chronic pain, we don't know why the pain occurs. It does come up about fairly frequently and can be very bothersome. And at that point, it may be less of a warning. But I think that caller really provided a testament to how well these strategies can work if you practice them on a regular basis. If she was doing these things from the time that she was a child, she's clearly developed a successful coping strategy to the point where when she needed surgery, she didn't even need that much medication. And she talked about the things she did with her neighbor, resting and laughing. Those are both really therapeutic strategies. That rest releases muscle tension. Muscle tension, we know, can make pain worse and more bothersome. Laughing is a terrific distraction. It's hard to feel pain as much when you're laughing. Now, you can't laugh for hours on end. Maybe you can. That would be nice. But those are both great strategies. I think that's a real testament to how incorporating these kinds of strategies in day-to-day life for people with chronic pain can really make a difference.
Yeah, loved your call. Dan, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Christine Quackenbush, our guest today, assistant professor, researcher, former oncology nurse at the UW-Madison School of Nursing, as we talk with her about alternative approaches to pain management here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at pain management today and some alternative approaches other than drugs, certainly drugs, I think, as we talk with Dr. Christine Quackenbush, are an important part of pain management often. But there are also some non-drug alternative pain management strategies for people who have cancer or chronic illnesses, maybe some post-surgery issues. There are some non-drug alternative strategies that she has researched and continues to research and is looking at. And that's why we asked her to come on today to talk with us about how, without drugs or maybe in combination with drugs, how we can better manage our pain. Questions, give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And lots of callers online. In fact, all our lines are filled. So let's just go to the phones. And Steve in Madison up first. Steve, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Oh, good morning. Or I guess good afternoon by now. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, have you ever dealt with trigeminal neuralgia?
I personally have not dealt with that because most of my experience has been with cancer patients. Mm-hmm. I know there are neurologists at the hospital who have dealt with that quite a bit.
Uh-huh. So you don't know, do you know of any alternative? I mean, I've been on several anticonvulsants, Lamictal right now, mm-hmm. and also tried acupuncture. And the drugs keep it pretty much under control, but I would like to try something else.
Yeah. The adjuvant medications that you mentioned are probably one of the mainstays that we use for that kind of neuropathic kind of pain. And I can't tell you much about the medical management in terms of drugs. You've done some acupuncture. How well did the acupuncture work for you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
How did you feel about it before you went to get it? Were you thinking that it was going to work? Were you not sure?
I guess I was not sure. I mean, I had had friends who had acupuncture and with mixed reviews.
Yeah, I'd say that's actually true for almost all of the non-drug strategies, is that you'll get mixed reviews because what works for one person doesn't work for another person. Acupuncture is one of the areas where we're seeing more and more research and more evidence to support its effectiveness for some patients and some conditions. Have you tried any of the relaxation, mind-body kinds of strategies?
Not really specifically, no. I mean, sometimes it, well, I guess I could say, you know, when it's really bad, then I can't relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's absolutely true. We talk about that when we train nurses. We teach them that some kinds of strategies, the mind-body strategies particularly, should not be used when people have severe pain. At that point, you need some medication to bring that pain down to a point where it's a little more moderate to mild, and then those kinds of relaxation, things that require your brain to focus, you just can't do when pain is very severe. You might want to try, though, some of the mind-body strategies and some of the physical modalities, just even things like heat and cold or rubbing and vibration may be temporarily helpful to you to get through a patch when the pain is particularly bothersome.
Now, would Steve go back to his doctor for and get a referral, or what would you do in a situation like this? Where could he get more information about it?
I would, the next time you go see your doctor, or perhaps even make an appointment, mention some of these alternative strategies to him, see what he thinks or see what she thinks, and see if there's perhaps someone available at that clinic who can help train. If you can't, there are a lot of good books available at your public library. You can just go and ask about books for...
What are some that... are there any that come to mind for you that you like to recommend to people?
I don't recommend any specific book, but there. I often tell people to just go to the library and ask about some of the recorded strategies that they might have available, some imagery kinds of exercises. Things that you can just try out. You can take home for a week or so and see if they work for you. And if they don't, return them. And if they do, find others. That may also be helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Teresa in Madison, it is your turn. Hi, Teresa.
Thank you so much. I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine who has cerebral palsy, the spastic kind of cerebral palsy, and it was diagnosed when he was 3. And around about when he was 20, he broke some bones in his foot. And ever since then has had episodes of pain from the foot that would cause him to go from neutral to about 10 on the pain chart, you know, practically nauseated from the pain, just in the blink of an eye. And this has been now about 27 years that this has been going on, and because the pain is experienced in the foot, that's what that's all the farther anybody looked. But we were able to determine this year that, or actually last year, that he's actually having a spasm in the shin, in a muscle in the shin, and that's pulling up on the foot. And that's why the pain is being felt in the foot, but it's actually, the spasm is actually in the shin. And since we've been icing the shin instead of the foot, massaging the shin, and doing some exercises with the help of a trainer at the health club who has a background in physical therapy, we've been able to reduce the episodes of pain by 90%. And so I just wanted to say that I think it's really important that that people take the time to make sure that the pain is really coming from where you think the pain is coming from, you know, that's really the cause. And what led me to this was he said that that it would a symptom would be foot drop, you know, and yet he's got a leg brace. And I said, how could that be? How could your foot possibly drop when it's in a brace? It has to be the leg dropping. And so when we finally narrowed it down to which muscle was the problem, like I say, it's meant a 90% reduction in the episodes.
Well, that's wonderful. A comment, Christine?
That is really terrific that you were able to figure that out. I think it is important for people to understand that the site of the pain, where you actually feel it, doesn't always mean that that's where it's coming from. There are some well-known nerve patterns, some routes through the body where pain is referred. For example, when people have pain related to their gallbladder, they often feel it in their shoulder. So it is important to get those pains evaluated and to not just think about the location that it's happening in, but where else it might be coming from and being referred from.
Yeah, that's very good points. And sometimes the physical therapist, and I have some physical therapists on my program, Lori Tynebrody and Bill Boisenault from the UW, and they're often talking about this. Somebody will call with a particular pain and they'll go into a description of, well, that could have come from your neck and not your, you know, someplace else. You know.
And physical therapists are wonderful referrals when you're having that kind of pain. And exercise is really, I think, perhaps an underappreciated non-drug pain management strategy, especially people with muscular pain, joint pain. It's really important to get some recommendations for what kinds of exercises are going to be helpful and to continue to use them. One of the problems is that people will start exercising, and when their pain goes away, they'll stop because they'll think it's gone, and then it comes back again. You really need to continue to practice that exercise.
Yeah, and thank you again, Teresa, for calling. I appreciate your call very much. Rich in Sauk City, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Rich. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have quite a bit of personal experience with pain. I had three back operations probably 15 years ago that turned out to be unsuccessful in the end. Still have a lot of pain from that. But my wife passed away from cancer, it's been 6 years ago now, and during that I got contact with the hospice towards the end and did some volunteer work after she passed away. And now currently I'm currently in a terminal stage of cancer myself. So suffering pain from that. But I seem to have the experience that the general medical community, like general practitioners and doctors, don't seem to have a real good handle on managing pain. I know that in my wife's case, until we got involved with hospice, we were continuously struggling with pain control. And until we got to hospice, where it was to the point of palliative care, it seems like the doctors are reluctant to prescribe medications that are effective. You know, they shy away from opiates and things like that. And in my own case now, I'm dealing with my cancer without insurance and basically pay as I can go for medical care. So I deal with a lot of self-medication and non-medical or non-drug type therapies to deal with pain. But I think a lot of it has to do with that the doctors can't actually take a CAT scan or something and point to a picture and say, this is your pain and this is the amount of pain you have. It's always relying on patient feedback. You know, you always hear doctors asking you, how's your pain today rated on this level? You know, there's no subjective chart that they can look at and say, you know, you have pain here and it's severe or not severe. And a lot of times you get discounted on your pain, you know, that it even exists in some cases with different doctors. I know with my back surgery, I had that experience with doctors that after the surgery, after a while, I was basically told deal with it, you know.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Rich. I'm sorry for your condition. Christine Quackenbohm, you have a comment?
Yeah, Rich, you have had some unfortunate but common experiences, especially with the unsuccessful back surgery. That there's been research looking at back surgery for chronic back pain, and unfortunately, it shows that it's actually fairly rarely successful. You've had to learn to live with that. And you do bring up a really good point about physicians not always knowing how to manage pain, and especially when it's a subjective report, there is a little hesitance there because they can't measure it with a CAT scan. They can't get a concrete idea of what exactly is happening. But I think that in cancer is one of the areas where we've done a little bit better in educating physicians and making sure that they're well prepared to try and deal with pain management. There have been a number of efforts specifically in the area of cancer to educate doctors and nurses and others involved in caring for cancer patients about how to assess and how to manage pain appropriately. And there are guidelines that actually give advice on evidence-based advice, advice based on research that says which drugs to use at what dose and how to change it if the pain is not reacting. So hopefully you'll find a physician who's seen those guidelines and is actually using them. And the hospice services are fantastic. It was really a grassroots effort to start hospice services. I'm going to toot nurse's horn here.
Sure,
but
you bet. Go right
it was
ahead.
Absolutely nurses who were involved in kind of spearheading hospice and focusing on improving pain management. So I think they're great services, and Rich, you may want to just check with your local hospice and see what benefits might be available to you with your own condition. You may actually qualify for the hospice Medicaid benefit at this point.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Rich. Appreciate your call. Oh, boy. Kathy in Wausau, it's your turn now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
My situation, I had surgery about 10 years ago, and it was to remove adhesions that were left from a C-section. And that all went fine with that part, but the problem is that it left me with what they think is abdominal wall pain. It would be either a neuroma, where the nerves did not grow back together after the surgery had cut them, or it was some type of an entrapped nerve, and that was the best they could say. Well, what I did was I've gone to several neurologists. They've tried me on medications such as Neurontin, which didn't help. I've been to several pain clinics. I've tried acupuncture, laser therapy. I had several cortisone shots in the site of the scar. And I even had a Botox injection because the theory there was trying to get the muscles to relax and perhaps it would not tense around the nerve that was somewhere in the scar tissue. I finally ended up having exploratory surgery, and they went in and cut both of the inguinal nerves, thinking maybe that would be part of the problem, but it was not. Hmm. And the difficulty with this pain, it's a sharp shooting pain, like electric pain, and it almost sounds to me like the type of pain that when people have shingles, they talk about that type of very electric, sharp pain. I had been very physically active up till then. I do a lot of sports and things, and so I've had a lot of muscle injuries and contusions and broken bones, so it's not a pain like that at all. It's extremely sharp, and the problem also was it's unpredictable. I could have been out playing volleyball and no problems, and then I'd be walking across my living room and get the sharp shooting pain, and I had episodes where I'd be sleeping in a deep sleep, and my body would just jerk, and I'd wake up because I'd have this type of sharp pains.
Hmm.
So for me, I had tried all the alternative therapies before I had to go on medications, which I'm on two medications now, a muscle relaxer and then one that's more of a chemical imbalance type of medication. And I'm wondering if there's any other things that I might be able to try.
Well, Kathy, what you're describing is really sounds like a kind of classic neuropathic pain, and neuropathic pain is something that we're learning more about every day, but it is a real, real challenge to deal with, and I'm sure that you have firsthand experience with that, but I can tell you that the pain specialists that I know, the physicians, the nurses, and other people who work with patients who have neuropathic pain, it's just a real challenge to find what would be most beneficial for you. It sounds like you're on some of the medications that they would most recommend, and you've tried acupuncture. You may just need to try some brief physical, what we would call cutaneous stimulation kinds of strategies to see if they could help you through brief periods of pain when it exacerbates, things like heat or cold, or rubbing or massage. We really don't know enough about whether those kinds of non-drug strategies work for neuropathic pain because it's just such a problem. It has an entirely different mechanism than most of the kinds of pain that we're familiar with. So I'm a little bit at a loss to advise you completely what to do.
And I have tried things like heat and cold, but I have been told that it's a deep tissue where you can't, like massage, you can't even get down into that tissue.
In the abdomen.
It's deeper.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for your condition, and let's hope that there's some resolution. Is there research going on in this area, by the way, Christine?
There are, yes. There are actually a number of researchers who are fairly well known across the country here in at the UW-Madison. And there is research constantly ongoing.
Well, let's hope that we get some good findings for you, Kathy, and thank you very much for calling. I'm sorry for what you're having to deal with. Tom and Stoddard will give you a chance next. Thank you, Tom, for calling.
Hi. I experienced, I was advised or read that calcium can be real helpful with pain. It doesn't really lower the pain level, but it helps you to bear it. And I had read that just before I had my wisdom teeth taken out. And I just didn't experience much difficulty with the whole procedure, except later in the week when I started getting a little impaction in the wound. And I was wondering what the guest thought of that. And I'll
hang up. Calcium. All right. Thank you for calling. Calcium, have you heard that?
I have not seen a single study on using calcium for pain. But they may be out there. There's a lot of pain studies. I don't have time to read them all. But I haven't personally heard about that. But I'm glad that it worked for you.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to get on and take a look at the research of that and find out if anybody's doing anything on that.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tom. Patty in Madison, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I have a comment and then also a question. First, I just wanted to give a plug for acupuncture for myself and my family. I have multiple sclerosis, and my husband has severe back pain, and my daughter has migraines, and all of us have found a wonderful acupuncturist who has helped to deal with the pain for all three conditions. And my MS is probably the one that doesn't cause as much pain as the other two is with my daughter and my husband, but we have just found miraculous results. And how it has kind of changed our ability to be able to function in many ways. So I wanted to give a plug, since there's been a number of negative things yeah. that didn't work, that for us it really did, and for very different conditions. So I want to
shout out for that. Yeah, and I don't know to what extent acupuncturists are licensed. Or do you have any information?
That varies from state to state.
What's the situation here?
I actually don't know the answer to that, because I haven't only read the research about how well acupuncture works. I haven't looked into certification requirements here, because that's not something that falls within the scope of nursing practice. You need obviously need specialized training, and I'm not actually even sure what kind of licensure or certification is available. But Patty, you raise a good point that acupuncture works for some people. It doesn't work for other people, and you're one of the lucky ones, and your family is one of the lucky ones mm-hmm. that it works for. And there is growing evidence to support the value of acupuncture, at least for some people.
And I would expect that with, like any profession, be it doctors or professors or whatever, there are some who are better at it than others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. Mike in Milwaukee, hello.
Yeah, I practiced Zen Buddhism over at UWM campus at a Zen center for 2 years, and I noticed I started going having extensive dental work done, and I could watch the pain and not be the pain. In other words, the pain was there, so I didn't need any anesthetics, and I never since then have taken anesthetics for anything.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
That's really impressive, Mike, and I think that's another testament to the fact that when you use these strategies for long periods of time, they can really make a tremendous difference in how your brain interprets the kinds of signals that it gets and how you experience those pain sensations, if you experience them at all.
Are there websites or places where people can go to find out more about pain management?
There is a lot of information on the internet, especially if you're interested in non-drug strategies. You can search things like relaxation, imagery, meditation, and you'll find a number of sites that actually provide instructions for how to practice them. You'll find sites that have audio downloads so that you can listen to them on your computer or record them to your iPod and listen to them that way. And as I said earlier, there are a number of books available in your local libraries that will help you figure out how to do these things. And if you need more advice, the next time you go to your doctor, ask to talk to the nurse about how to manage certain symptoms that you're having. And, you know, some hospitals are actually starting to offer more alternative strategies as well. I know that at University Hospital here, they're actually, they have an acupuncturist hired to come in and a massage therapist. So patients can individually elect to request these services. It is a pay for fee or fee for service.
But it's there.
But it's there, right.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Happy to be here.
Dr. Christine Quackenboom, assistant professor, researcher, and former oncology nurse in the UW-Madison School of Nursing, our guest today as we talk with her about pain management. Learned a lot. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Net.